Morning, Church in the Rock. Happy Easter. He is risen. Yay! I feel we need to do a happy dance today. Wherever you are, even if you're sitting in the couch, would you just get up and do a happy dance? Because he is risen. Hallelujah! Woo! Woo! You know, I'm going to speak about, oh death, where is your victory? Come on, oh grave, where is your sting? I'm going to speak on that. Before I do that, I want to, you know, continue the work of the Lord. Even as Sheila said, I just want to acknowledge the worship team. Joshua, thank you for doing that great worship. Thank you for the team, all of them, like Rachel and Emo and Cedric and Jay. I do want to acknowledge Billy and Amelia, Church in the Rock. You don't see them running around. Here they are running around doing so many things, getting up early in the morning, coming up, setting up. I just want to acknowledge each one of you. Nicholas, thank you for coming Sunday after Sunday and helping Church in the Rock. Really want to appreciate all you guys. I'm excited today. I am. You know, I'm going to speak about, oh death, where is your victory? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just, you know, this morning I had to put a Facebook post. Easter Sunday, I got to put a Facebook post. And you know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verse 24, it is impossible for death to keep its hold on him. I don't know whether you heard it. It is impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And you know, the post that I put is, you know, the strategies of God supersedes the plans of the enemy. You know, God always pulls out a trump card, and he did that this Easter Sunday morning when the enemy thought he got you. Isn't it wonderful? When the enemy thinks it's over, the strategies of God supersedes every plan of the enemy. And even as you hear me, even as just this hearing my voice, as you're sitting in your bedroom or sitting in your living room, as you're watching the YouTube or watching in via Facebook, I want to say, you know, God is a God. The God I worship, he messed up every funeral service. He just messes up funeral service. He goes after a person is dead for 4 days and the body could be stinking. He messes up that funeral service. There in the city of Nain, there's a young man who's in the coffin and they're going to bury him. He messes it up. He messed up his own funeral service because he's a God of resurrection. He's a God of resurrection. And Ezekiel chapter 47 says, you know, God is a God who opened graves. And even this morning, right in the beginning, I want to declare this resurrection service that I don't care what our problem is. I don't care where you are. I don't care whoever you are as you listen to my voice. I want to say my God is able. My God is able. When he rose from the dead, he said nothing is going to hold him. When he defeated death and said, oh, death, where is your victory? That means he said he puts an end in saying there's nothing that's impossible for me. I can do it all. I can do it all. And even this morning, as you hear my voice and as you're listening to this message, I pray that you will just rise up and receive this word. You will just say, God, here am I. Here am I. I receive this word. Come on, take a minute. Take a minute. This Resurrection Sunday, I see some people who are watching who are going through a difficult time. You're going through a time, you're wondering, God, where are you? Whether it's a small migraine that you're going through or you're dealing with cancer. Supposing if you're dealing with a place and financial situation where it's beyond, it's gone beyond. Where people have, I feel some people, you know, people have spoken bad about you and you are so offended and so wounded. Whatever your situation is, I want to say, my God is able. My God is able. I think of Joshua's mom who's cancer-free today. I think of Jay's dad. We've been praying for Jay's dad. And God is working in his life. And I can think of many circumstances. My God is able. My God is able to transform circumstances in your life. And I pray, I want to say, oh death, where is your victory? Today I want to talk about two things, two specific topics I want to deal with. One is deal with death. Deal with death. And the second thing I want to talk about is wrestle with resurrection. Are you with me? Are you excited? Are you there with me? Can you say hallelujah wherever you're sitting? I know I can't hear you, but can you say hallelujah? Because God is a God who dealt with death. And I want to deal with death. And I want to wrestle with resurrection. The first thing in the aspect of dealing with death, I want to say a few things. And Church of the Rock, I'm going in into a place of really talking about death. And you might think, why am I talking about death on Easter Sunday? Unless you understand death, you cannot move into resurrection. And this morning, I want to deal with that. There's one thing that all the people who are hearing me, any person who's hearing me, there's one thing which is very common with all of us. There's one day, all of us are going to die. All of us are going to die. You can be rich, you can be poor. You can be educated, you can be not educated. You can be of a particular skin color. You might have good health. You might be running 8 kilometers per day and doing all the exercises and eating right. I have news for you. You and I will die. And the question I want to ask you is, I think we need to deal with that. We need to deal with that. And the question that comes to, which we need to deal with, is what happens after you die? What happens at the place of death? And you might say, there's two things. You might say, why do I want to think about death? I've got all this life to live. I want to break some things. I want you to be a man or a woman with a strategy. You are a man and a woman who will think carefully about life and death. As for North America, the life expectancy of a male is 77 years, and for a woman, it's 81 years. Let me try and break it down in my own life. I'm 64 years right now. So as for the life expectancy, I have 13 years. As for the life expectancy, I have 4,745 days. As for the life expectancy, I have a little over 100,000 hours to live. That's all. You know, I have so much, a block. And by the end of the service, out of the 100,000, 2 hours is gone. And I'm getting closer to death. And it's just not me alone, it's each one of you. The reality is you're going to die. And the question I think I want to raise before you is, what happens? Have you thought about death? Have you thought about death, and have you dealt with death? One of the lies I feel that has permeated society at large is, we serve a loving God, and I can live whatever lifestyle I want. At the end of the day, God is going to receive me the way I am. And that's a lie. And we put, God is loving. Because he's loving, I can do what I want. I want to tell you, I have two sons, I have two boys, and I love them. I care for them a lot. I love them a lot. I will die for them. Because I love them, they cannot get away with anything that they want. Because I love them, I'm on the face. I am before them. I am bombarding them with thoughts and questions, because because I love them. Because I love them. Because you love somebody, you don't allow that person to get away and do something wrong, and because you know that's not right, and you're there before them, and you love them. Same thing with God. Same thing with God. Common sense will tell you, if a person loves you, that person has rules, regulations. You cannot drive in 401 over 100 kilometers. There's a rule that you over 100 kilometers per hour, you're going to get a ticket. And I want to say, God is a God of regulations and rules. That's why he's given the word of God. So there's a few myths that I want to break in the aspect of dealing with death. The first myth is, I think we think we are going to live for eternity in this world. It's not really true. It's not really true. You got to deal with death. What happens if you or I get run over by a bus and we die today? What happens to us? You and I need to deal with that question. And the second question I want to break is, because you think God is loving, I can live whatever way I want. But that's not true. That's not what the Word of God says. And that's not true from a common sense perspective. I want to talk about a few things today. The first thing I want to say is, judgment after death is a reality. As I said, today is Easter Sunday, but I want to be very honest before you. I want to bring in the facts of what happens to a person and the reality of death and what happens after death. The Bible is very clear, there is judgment after death. And I want to say, we have a loving God, we have a gracious God, But when you die, this God is just not a God the Father, but he's a God the Judge. And you and I have to face judgment after we die. Now you might say, Peter, what do you mean by that? And let me read some scriptures. Let me run through some scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Let me read it again. "It's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." That's what the Bible says. After death, there is judgment. Let me go to another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Now, I didn't say that. The Bible says it. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, I'm wrestling with that. I'm dealing with that. My question is, if this is true, you and I are accountable after judgment. And my thing is, you need greater faith not to believe this and continue to live a life as if there's no judgment. And I've come today, and I'm pleading with you. Can you stop? Can you recognize? If what I'm saying is true, there's a place that you need to change. I need to change. There's a place that we need to look at our own lives, because after that, if there's judgment, you need to deal with it now. Let me share a few more verses in Matthew chapter 12, 36 and 37. "But tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty words they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, or by your words you will be condemned." Bible says in Matthew chapter 12 that there will be a judgment upon every word that you uttered. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, "I solemnly charge you before God and Jesus Christ, who's to judge the living and the dead, and by his manifestation and his kingdom." He talks again, Paul telling Timothy, you know, God is a God who will judge the living and the dead. Can I share the last verse? This is the white throne judgment, the great white throne judgment, as you read in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 to 15. "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open." I want to say this again. "And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to the works by the things which were written in the books." Brothers and sisters, why am I saying all this? I plead with you. Deal with death. Deal with the issue of death. And I wanna challenge you. If what I'm saying is true, which I know is true, and you think you don't know whether it's true or not, you're making a big mistake by thinking, no, I can get away with whatever way I'm living, and I can face death, and after that I'm okay. I want to tell you, it's not. You will not be okay. And I plead with you, there will be a judgment after death. That's what the Bible is very, very clear. This Resurrection Sunday, I want to tell you, there is a lie that after death, there's nothing. God is loving and you can, everything will be okay. It is not going to be okay. Let me tell another reality about death. I've said judgment is a reality. Death is a reality. The third thing I want to say, hell is a reality. Hell is a reality, and hell in heaven is a reality. And I think sometimes it takes greater faith not to believe there's a hell. And on what basis? On what basis? On what basis are you taking the risk? On what basis are you you're so sure that there is no hell and I can continue to live the way I want? I plead with you, and I'm going to read some scriptures again about hell. And on this Resurrection Sunday, I feel we need to deal with death. Hell is a reality. The first thing I want to say about hell, it's a place of fire. In Luke chapter 16, I was tormented in this flame. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 42, and Jesus says, and I shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 25:41, Jesus says, depart from me, you cursed, into an everlasting fire. Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 says, whoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And that is a very sad verse. That is a very sad verse. Anybody whose name is not written in the book of life is cast into a lake of fire. Can I talk further about hell? The second thing I want to talk about hell, hell is a place of fire. The second thing I want to say is it's a place of torment. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 12, it says there's weeping. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 42, it says there's wailing. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 50, it says gnashing of teeth. In Matthew chapter 25, 30, it says it's darkness. Luke chapter 16, verse 24, it says it's a place of flames. Isaiah 33, verse 14, it says that there's a burning. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 42, it says a place of torment. These are hard words. And the other thing, the last thing I want to say about hell is, you know, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Hell is forever. Hell is forever. The flames of fire is forever. And there's only one choice that you and I have. Either you believe what I'm saying, or you have great proof saying this is not true. Hell is not real. Judgment is not real. Death is real. All of us know death is real. But what happens after death, and are you dealing with that issue? The question then becomes, what do I do? What do I do? The phrase that I have for you is, don't get caught up with death without Jesus. I want to say again, don't get caught up with death without Jesus. Let me read a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 30. This is where the Resurrection Sunday becomes very real. This is where the death on the cross becomes very real. This is where God taking the sins of mankind and suffering for our sake and dying on the cross becomes very real. This is where heaven, I can enjoy the presence of God and walk into the heavenly realms while on earth is very real. And it's available for us. Let me read 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20 onwards. But now Christ is risen from the dead. Come on. Come on. Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who had fallen asleep. He became the first fruit. And since by man came death, by man also came resurrection of the dead. Because through Adam, sin came. And that's where death came. Since by man came death, by man also came resurrection from the dead. And as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. The last enemy, I love this phrase, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now that I shared that verse, what do I do? What do I do? What should be my response? I want to say it's a very simple thing. I really feel when I say, oh death, where is your victory? You can truly say, oh death, where is your victory? As you live through this life, you don't need to be afraid of death. You don't need to be afraid of death. You don't need to be afraid of what happens after death. There's a simple way in which you can say, God, here am I. And I want to give you a simple way in which you can respond to what Christ did at the cross. Respond to this Resurrection Sunday. God, how do I respond to you? First, I want to say is accept you're a sinner. It's simple. A, B, C. Accept you're a sinner. The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 says there's none righteous. No, not one. Romans 3, 23 says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And in 1 John chapter 1, it says if you say I'm not a sinner, you're a liar. The Bible is very clear. All have sinned. I have sinned. Everybody in this world has sinned. The first thing is accept you're a sinner. That which you know you shouldn't do and you are doing, that is a sin. And say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. Accept you're a sinner. The second thing I would say is believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the words in John chapter 3, verse 16. It's a very well-known verse. If For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And I pray this morning as you listen to my voice, that you will say, God, I believe in you. Believe in you. And the third thing I want to say is, commit your life to him. Commit your life to him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John chapter 1, verse 17. For by grace have you been saved through faith, not by yourself. It is a gift of God. Would you just receive God today? Would you just receive God today? I know it's a hard message this morning, but it's not a hard message. It's a real message. Sometimes you need to deal with truth. Sometimes you need to deal with the truth of what happens when you die. COVID has exposed death. COVID has exposed that anybody can die anytime. And that's a reality. That's a reality. But sometimes we live through this life thinking we'll be here forever. We will not be. None of us are going to be here forever. And it's time for us to stop and think, am I ready for death? What happens after dying? And you can say, Peter, I don't know whether what you're saying is true. Can you try it out? Can you talk to this God? Can you read this word? Because I know this is true. I've tasted this God. I've walked with this God for 40 years. And I urge you today, deal with death and say, God, here am I. Here am I. I've told you there is going to be a judgment. I told you there is a heaven and a hell. And I told you there is a God who died for you. While we were yet sinners, he loved us and he died for us. And all he wants us to do is come here. Come to him and say, here am I, God. Here am I, God. And you move from death to life. Not just in the coming world, but now. You move to a place where you can walk into the heavenly realms. You can sit with him in the heavenly realms. You have access to God the Father. And I pray today, that if you're that person who accepts the Lord and say, God, I'm willing. I want you to accept you're a sinner. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, commit your life to him. I want to say a prayer before I go into the next point. And if you made that decision, would you pray with me? Would you repeat this prayer after me? Lord Jesus. Yeah, you can repeat it wherever you are. Wherever you are, just repeat that prayer. Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need you. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Lord Jesus, I commit my life to you. It's no longer I, but it's you, Lord. In your name, I pray this prayer. Amen. If you're one of them who's prayed this prayer, would you even send an email? Email to info@peopledontherock.com. Just connect with us. Connect with us this morning. It's the greatest decision that you would have ever made. And I want to tell you, you're passing over from death to life. And if there's others who are wrestling with what I've heard, what I've shared in the aspect of dealing with death, and you have questions, feel free to get in touch with any one of us, including myself. I'll be glad to talk with you. Because I know this is burning in my heart. The last thing I want anybody to go is to a place called hell. And hell is a reality. And after death, there's judgment. There's heaven and hell. And my prayer is that you and I will not land there. And the only way is through the cross, through accepting Jesus Christ. And to Church of the Rock, I want to say, continue preaching the gospel. Deal with death. Death is a reality. To your friends, to your neighbors, to your people that you know, let people recognize and know that you have a great friend named Jesus. Introduce Jesus. Talk to them about Jesus. Just tell them this God you love and worship and share testimonies of his goodness so that people will pass from death to life. The second thing I want to just talk very briefly this Resurrection Sunday is let's wrestle with resurrection. Come on. Let's wrestle with resurrection. You know, I don't know how far what I can preach on the aspect of wrestling with resurrection, because there's so much in the aspect of wrestling with resurrection. And I want to say, come on, Church in the Rock. We are walking into a new realm. We're walking into a new level of authority. And I just feel God died that brutal death. That brutal death. When he was, I think Neha shared about
The Garden of Gethsemane, and for me, that scene never gets away from me. There he is prostrate before God and crying out to God, if it's possible, take this cup away from me, but not my will, but thine be done. He suffered so much that his sweat became blood. He had to, you know, there's something about going through something, but knowing that you're going through so much suffering is worse. He knew the pain and the agony that he was going to go through, and yet he was willing to go through. Now, he paid such a good price. And I want to share a few things, you know, a few verses. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18 onwards, it says, I pray that your eyes of your understanding will be opened, that you'll know the hope to which God has called you, the inheritance in the saints. And the third thing says is incomparable great power that's available to us who believe. Come on. The incomparable great power is available for us who believe. And I pray you'll understand this. And then he goes on to explain, the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available for you and me. In Matthew chapter 28, when Jesus rose from the dead, he comes to his disciples and says, all authority has been given unto you. Go and make disciples of all nations. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, you know, wait. And the Holy Spirit will fall upon you. And when the Holy Spirit falls upon you, you shall be my witnesses. And I want to say, such is the anointing and the power of God that is available for us. And I know Church on the Rock, this is a great season for us. I know each one of you, as you've said yes to join Church on the Rock, that you haven't said yes to an organization and a church, but you've said yes to God and saying, God, here am I. I'm ready. And I want to urge you that the God we worship is a powerful God. And I want to leave just one thought as you wrestle with the resurrection. Knowing that all authority has been given to you. All authority has been given to us. What do we do with it? I want to say the call of God for the church at large is for the kingdoms of God to become the kingdoms of man. Let me leave this last thought with you. The kingdoms of God has to become kingdoms of men. God is transforming, you know, the kingdoms of this world to become the kingdoms of God because he's put upon us a kingly and a priestly anointing upon us. I want to leave three things with you, even as I say that, on this Resurrection Sunday, as we wrestle with resurrection. The first thing is, don't be self-centered and don't let your vision be so small. The phrase I want to leave behind is, think big. Think big. Come on, Church on the Rock. I know you've been with me. You've listened till now. I've come to the end of my message. I want to leave three simple thoughts. Think big. You know, he said, all authority has been given to you that you can go buy a Mercedes-Benz or buy the best car or get the good-looking spouse. No, he said, all authority has been given to you. Go make disciples of what? All nations. He didn't say Scarborough. He didn't even say GTA. He didn't say Ontario or even Canada. He said all nations. That is our God. The call that God has placed upon you and me is so big. And God is saying all authority has been given to you. Think big. Think big. The little life that we live in this world, I urge you, come on, come on. Let's think big. Let's think of nations. Let's think of people groups. Let's think this God that you worship is a great God. This Resurrection Sunday, when he made an open shame of every demonic realm, when he nailed everything to the cross and canceled the written, the laws and the command and the things that stood against us, and he nailed it to the cross, and he literally transformed the mandate that he's given us and the authority that he's given us. It's not for us to live a simple, small life. Think big. Let the strategies that you receive will be strategies from God to disciple nations. Church of the Rock, listen to me. Think big. This life, as I said, I started with life expectancy. Your life expectancy, even if you're in your 20s or 30s, is not too much. It's not too much. And my prayer is every hour, every day, every year, that you will say, God, here it is. Let me be a person with a great strategy to fulfill the call that you have for me. And I want to say the call that God's placed upon each one of you is so powerful. This morning as Cedric was on the keyboard, I felt such an anointing upon you, Cedric. The call of God is huge upon you. It's huge. I wish God can explode and open your mind to tell what he's doing in your life. As I look at the young people, my eyes are open saying, God, I wish their eyes were open to know what a great call that you placed upon them. And my thing is, don't live a mediocre life. Don't think in a mediocre way. Don't get caught up in the things of this world. Live a life. Think big, because the God you worship, I said, all authority has been given to you. The early disciples caught it. They caught it. They turned the world upside down or right side up. Whole Asia heard the word of God. Why? Just through 12 disciples turned the world upside down. I know. I want to tell you, the same God can do it in your life and my life. The latter rain is going to be greater than the former. The latter rain, we think a book of Acts is great things, but I tell you, there's great things ahead of us. The second thing I want to say, other than think big, is be willing to pay the price. Be willing to pay the price. Get out of your comfort zone. It's not going to happen till you get out of your comfort zone. It's not going to happen till you pay the price. You got to step out. And I tell you one thing, there will not be any price that'll be great, because God is greater. God is greater. I can share testimonies after testimonies after testimonies where I thought I'm making a sacrifice to God, but God blessed me beyond what I could ever give back to him. And I want to challenge you. I see many of you have gone through hard situations. Many of you have made decisions for God in hard situations. Go back to those situations and say, God, here am I. I give myself back to you on this Easter Sunday, because great is the call of God in your life. And the final thing I want to say is step out. Step out. You know, till you step out, you know, your faith is useless till you step out. Your belief and your learning is useless till you step out. You know, so what? So what? You know the scripture. So what? You got the prophetic words. So what? You can sing well. So what? You can preach so well. Till you step out into the things of God, you will never see the hand of God. And I pray today, step out. Come on, step out of that boat. You'll never know you can walk on water till you step out of that boat. You'll never know that nations will be under your feet. You'll never know. You'll never know the things that God has for you. As long as you know, once you hear the voice of God, step out. I still remember on one of the Sundays when Sheila was preaching, I think it's Acts chapter 12, when Trisha heard the word and saw the vision of stepping out of the boat. That's how she's gone to Uganda. Uganda is not what it is today because she heard the voice and she stepped out. Men and women have stepped out. You see, great men and great women have done great things because there's some stage in their life they said, I am stepping out. This Easter Sunday morning, God has paid the biggest price, the greatest price. I want to challenge you. Think big. Think big. Be willing to pay the price. You got to calculate and say, God, I'm willing. I'm willing to pay the price. You might not live like everyone else. God never wanted you to live like anyone else. And the last thing I want to say is step out. When God says jump, don't ask many questions. Say, how high should I jump, God? And jump. I urge you, having known my God for the last 40 days, this Easter Sunday, I urge you, Church in the Rock, we're in a great place. I love you guys. I love you. I look at each one of you, such mighty men, such mighty women, people who have committed their lives to God. But don't get into the comfort zone. Don't ever get into the comfort zone. Go to that place and say, God, here am I. I'm willing. Let me close with prayer. Again, I want to say, blessed Easter. Blessed Easter. You know, I think of John the Baptist as he came preaching. He was eating locusts and wild honey. It's time to eat locusts. Time to eat the demonic realm. As you step into the great things that God has for you, come on, step into the demonic realm and say, God, here am I. This Easter Sunday morning, would you commit your life to God? Even as I preached about death, even as I preached about hell, even as I preached about judgment, that is real. Church in the Rock, that is real. As you look into the eyes of your friends, as you look into the eyes of the people that you work with, if they don't know Jesus after death, that is a reality. And you and I are accountable to plead with them, to talk with them, to love them, and to lead them to Jesus Christ. And I pray the spirit of evangelism will fall on you and you'll say, I will not send anybody to hell, but I will populate heaven. That is the task and the call that God has placed upon me. I pray you and I will be, agents of reconciliation in this world, that the name of the Lord will be lifted up and people will be drawn to him. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, God. I just thank you. I just thank you. I just thank you. Father, I bless the evangelists in our church, oh God. I pray that spirit of evangelism will fall upon them, O God. I pray, God, for all of us, O God. You said, go, make disciples of all nations. You said, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. That command has not stopped, O God, and I pray, God, we will be preachers of the word. Lord, just in whatever form, O God, sitting next to somebody in the office or going into a nation, O God, doesn't matter. We'll be preachers of the gospel. I pray, God, in this season, the next season, in 2021, we will see many come to know Jesus as their personal Savior. God, I bless those who've made a commitment today. You know those people who made that commitment, O God. I thank you, God, that today there's rejoicing in heaven as people have turned to you, God. And I commit Church in the Rock, O God. I commit the men and women. I commit Cedric, O God. I commit others, O God. The hand of the Lord is upon these young men, O God, and young women, O God. Raise them up to be mighty men and mighty women for your kingdom, O God. Thank you, Father. In your name we pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.